Amen. Joshua chapter 3, God's got some things that he wants to say to us tonight about raising the bar. Let me set the scene for you. The children of Israel, if you remember the story of Joseph, his brother sold him into slavery into Egypt. Joseph goes down to Egypt, ends up becoming the second-hand man to Pharaoh. Now, I skipped over a lot of stuff because he went to prison for a while there and was brought out. A lot of bad stuff happened to him during that time. He was falsely accused of sleeping with somebody's wife. And so a lot of stuff happened to him. He becomes the Pharaoh's second-hand man. There's a famine. His family ends up coming down. He reveals himself to them. And the whole family goes down into Egypt. Over the years, a new ruler comes into power, and they forget about who Joseph was. They forget about the children of Israel, and they start to bring them into bondage. They bring them into slavery. And this is something that God had told Abraham was going to happen. He said, your ancestors will be in bondage 400 years. He says, after that time, I'm going to bring them out. And so now God is, you've probably seen the Prince of Egypt movie or maybe the Ten Commandments movie. And so maybe you've even read the story, or you remember the flannel board stories in Sunday school about how God called Moses out of the burning bush to deliver his people Israel. And so he brings them out with signs and wonders. Miracles are taking place. There's these plagues that are all over Egypt. And yet, in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were staying, there was none of these plagues going on. They didn't have any of the problems that the Egyptians had. And so God was marking this people Israel, and he was saying that this was a special people to him. This was a peculiar people. And he was going to bring them out, and literally the Egyptians said to them as they were going, here's all of our gold, here's everything you're going to need for the journey, just get out of here, go and worship your God. And so they leave, and they plundered Egypt as they left without even fighting them. So here's Israel coming out, they've got the plunder of Egypt, they've got everything that they need for the journey. They come out, and the Egyptians realize our slave force is gone, we need to go back and get them. They come and they trap them at the Red Sea. The Israelites are scared. They cry out to God. God says, hey, wait a second. Just stand still and watch what I do right now. God opens up the Red Sea as Moses raises his staff, and the Red Sea parts right in front of them. They walk through on dry land. Some scholars believe there was millions of people that walked through on dry land, right through the middle of the Red Sea. Miraculous. The Egyptians come in, they're hot on their tail, they come in down into the Red Sea in chariots, horses, weapons. They're ready to destroy this people, and God just says, no more. Takes out Pharaoh's army like that. The waters collapse in on them, and they're no more. Miraculous. Now, the children of Israel are supposed to have a short walk into the Promised Land, but through disobedience, fear, doubt, and unbelief, they end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. I'm skipping over a lot of the story to get where we're going tonight. Now we come to the point, Moses is now dead. Joshua, his servant, and the commander of the army now, is leading the people Israel into the Promised Land. And this is where we pick up the story there at the edge of the Jordan River, about to cross over and go into the Promised Land. And in Joshua chapter 3, this is where we pick up the story. Joshua chapter 3 verse 1 says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. So they're camping out. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Now stop right there, because some of you may not know what's going on here. If you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, or you know anything about the temple, you know that there is this box. It's a golden box. It's overlaid with gold on all sides and on the inside. All right? Now this carried 3 sacred items. It was also called the Ark of the Covenant. But basically what it represented to Israel was that they were a nation who had a covenant or an agreement with God. That God would be their God and they would be his people. And when they saw that Ark of the Covenant, they realized that that was a holy thing, because what that Ark of the Covenant represented in heaven was the heavenly throne of God. And on top of it, it had 2 angels carved in gold that spread out their wings over the top of this mercy seat. And that was where the glory of God overshadowed the Ark. Literally, in the tabernacle, there was this room that was enclosed. There was no light in it except for the glory of God. The light of God shone forth. It was called the Shekinah glory. And it was this just presence of God that sat over, resided over the Ark of the Covenant, saying that God is enthroned amidst his people Israel. In the same way, you and I carry God around in our hearts if we're born again of the Spirit of God. And the church of God is also representative of that covenant agreement, that we are his people and he is our God. Let's read on. Verse 4 says, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before." Once again, look up at me. He says, you haven't passed this way before. I want you to keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to keep your focus. And don't just wander off, because you have not passed this way before. Young adults, here we are in 2009. And even though they might be calling back to the 30s, talking about depression, they might be talking about the economic collapse of the 1980s and the stock market dips. They might be recalling in the 90s the real estate market. But let me tell you something, we have not passed this way before. Never before in history have you been on the face of the planet. Never before in history has there been a time like this where God wants to move. You say, Pastor Dan, what's so special about now? What's so special is that God made it, and God has a purpose for it. The Spirit of God is poured out on the earth on the servants of God. We carry about God on the inside of us. And so for you and I, we need to realize, listen, you're not going to be this age any longer. You've never passed this way before. It does not matter how old you are. You've never been that age before. I've even heard our pastor, Pastor Jimmy, 63 years old, say, I have never been a pastor of a church this size before. I have no idea what I'm doing. Listen, I've never pastored before. This is something I've been doing for 5 years. I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes people get uneasy when you say things like that, but listen, just as they told the people of Israel, keep your eyes on the covenant, keep your eyes on the agreement, keep your eyes on God. In the same way, that's the reason why Pastor Jim can do what he does, is because he keeps his focus on God, hearing the voice of the Lord. The reason why I can do what I do and Pastor Jess can do what she does with you guys is that we keep our focus on God. We keep our attention. We keep our ears ready and attentive. 2009, if we're going to raise the bar, we need to keep our focus. We've already said this in previous teachings, so I'm not going to dwell on this point. But make sure that your focus this year is on the things of God. Make sure that your focus is here in church. Make sure that you get into church as much as you can. Because if you're going to commit to something tonight and then never set foot in this church again, you're not going to keep your commitment. Commitment without consistency is not a real commitment. You got to keep your ears attentive to the voice of the Lord, because he's going to direct you. He's going to warn you of things. He's going to show you different things. You have not passed this way before. Verse 5, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What does that word sanctify? We don't use that word too much, but it means to set apart. He says, set yourself apart. Get yourself cleaned up. Last week, Pastor Jess was talking about sin, dealing with the sin issues in our life, making sure that if we're going to raise the bar, that we're not messing around. Luke talked about the tongue 2 weeks ago, that if we're going to raise the bar, we got to watch what we say. Got to watch the things that we speak about God, about others, about ourselves. And so he says, sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart from the rest of the world. You are a peculiar people. All the plagues may be coming on the earth, but they're not even going to come near your dwelling. That's what my Bible says. And he says, sanctify yourselves, set yourselves apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Listen, 2009 is going to be your best year yet. 2009 is going to be unusually blessed. 2009, as we raise the bar and we keep our focus and we set ourselves apart, God is going to open up a blessing. God is going to unlock what's been locked up. God is going to free you in areas you haven't been free before. God will do it. God will do wonders as you and I keep our focus and we set ourselves apart. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Verse 6, then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Verse 7, Lord speaks to Joshua, says, I'm going to lift you up in the sight of the people. Verse number 8, you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and all the other ites. You can read through them. Verse number 11, before the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Look at that. The ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. This is God. He's to be respected. This is God's covenant. This is God's agreement. This is what God's going to do. So he says, behold. Drop down to verse number 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who before the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. It's miraculous. The priests are carrying the ark of the covenant. It had long poles. They were not allowed to touch it. They had to carry it by these poles. And so they're walking down, and God tells them, listen, I want you to walk down, and when your foot goes into the water, and when all the priests have their feet in the water of the Jordan, then I will cut off the waters. Now, I want you to notice something, because God raises the bar on Israel, didn't he? Before it was a vast sea. You say, well, yeah, little river, big sea. Red Sea's bigger. I mean, that's got to be the bigger one. I mean, that would be raising the bar. Maybe they should have crossed the Jordan River first and then crossed the Red Sea. But let me tell you something. The Jordan River overflowing its banks is a lot more deadly than a sea to an individual. Because if you start walking into a sea, it's just, you know, it's there it is, long, flat. If you guys have ever been to a large lake or anything like that, the waves aren't like the ocean. Little waves, you know, you kind of splash in. You get walking into a river that's overflowing its banks during the harvest time, that thing is rushing. The current is strong. And so now he's telling the priest, I want you guys to take a step of faith. I want you guys not just to walk up to the edge and allow Joshua to raise his staff, and then I'm going to part the waters, and then you go ahead and walk across on dry ground. No, he says, I want you guys to get in. Listen, God is raising the bar on you and I in 2009. He says, what you did last year that came easy to you isn't going to work this year. I'll do wonders among you, but you got to get your feet wet. You got to get your foot down in there. And yeah, the river is raging. Yeah, it's overflowing. Yeah, it's been going for a while now. And yeah, you by yourself can't do anything about it, but I want you to get your feet wet. I want you to get into the thick of it. I want you to get involved in it. I want you to put some time and some effort and some energy into it. I want you to put some faith in me and step down inside of that river that's rushing and flowing. And once you get your feet in there, then I will cut off the waters. And so what happened? The priests go down, they step inside of the river. The water, all the water that was flowing just keeps flowing into the sea and stops. And the rest of the water that was coming down stands up in a heap. Can you imagine the sight of that? I mean, they could point out the exact city where it stood up because it was such a wonder. And so all of Israel crosses over on dry land. 2009. Yeah, we may say we're raising the bar. Really, God's raising the bar on us. God is offering us something. He's saying, listen, I will do miracles. I will do wonders. I will do something so amazing to you that you can pinpoint it. You can point it out. You can understand it. But it's going to take faith. It's going to take action on your part. It's going to take doing something. Tonight, the reason why we have the tables is because we want you to not just have our own personal commitment. Yes, you will do that tonight. This is between you and God. But oftentimes when you're able to speak to someone else about it, when you're able to open up to somebody and talk about something, a lot of times that will open up your heart and it brings accountability. And two together are stronger than you are alone. Remember, the priests weren't alone when they were walking into that river. There was another guy holding the other side of the ark. And they walked in together. And so tonight, that's why we have the tables, is because we have a couple questions. We're going to put them up on the overhead screen here. But we want you to discuss some things tonight in your tables. Okay? And we'll give you a period of time, probably about 20 minutes. We'll have you guys talk. And can we get the questions up there? Do you have them? Pedro? Number one thing that you're going to talk about is what impacted you the most out of each of the Raising the Bar messages, okay? This whole month we've been doing teaching. Now, if it's your first time tonight, you say, Pastor Dan's message was awesome, okay? Tonight was just, man, it rocked me, okay? That's your response, okay? Second thing, what obstacles will you have to overcome to raise the bar in your life? Remember, the Jordan's banks were overflowing. They knew well, and they recorded it for you and I to know that, look it, this thing is uncertain. There's going to be something that you're going to have to overcome. Fears, pressures, trials, temptations, struggles, things that are going on. Talk about those things, because as you identify them, then you can call them out in prayer and you can overcome them in your spiritual warfare. And number three, how will you raise the bar in 2009? And when you get to that question at your table, what I want you to do is there's in the buckets inside. Okay, can I have one of those, Pastor Jess? There should be at least 8 of these cards in each of the buckets. And it talks about raising the bar, and on the back side it says raising the bar in 2009. In 2009, I will raise the bar by, and then it's got some lines right there. What we want you to do on that is write down how you're going to raise the bar. Okay, there should be some pens at your table too, and there's also some Snickers bars, okay, with caffeine in them in case you're falling asleep. So you can go ahead and eat one of those. And then it's got a little card down here that you can tear off. What I want you to do with these is I want you to write down your commitment here and here, okay, on both sides. And the reason why I want you to do that is because we want you to keep this little card as a reminder this year of how you're raising the bar in 2009. Throw it in your wallet. Ladies, throw it in your purse. Maybe post it on your bathroom mirror so that every morning you have vision. The Bible says write the vision down that he who reads it may run with it. And so write down how it is that you're going to raise the bar, and then write it down on this one, and you're going to take that larger portion. If you want to, you can put your name on it. If you don't want to, you can just leave it anonymous and just write how you're going to raise the bar. And then put the bigger portion back inside of the buckets. Because as we said, at the end of this year, we're going to break all these cards back out. And we're going to have a praise service where we just find out what God did in our lives in 2009. And see how God raised the bar. And see how God performed miracles among us as we set ourselves apart. So, if you're at a table kind of by yourself, is there just one of you at a table? Two of you at a table. If there's just two of you, why don't you guys go ahead and move to another table, okay? If there's just two of you, go ahead, just start moving around. You guys don't have to write right now. Just talk right now. Talk about question number one. What impacted you most out of each of the Raising the Bar messages? Yeah, if you're at one of the back, just come on up. Find yourself a seat. Find a table. All right, does everybody have their card signed? Everybody tear it off and write on the little one too. Keep the little one and drop the big one inside the bucket. And what we're going to do is we'll go ahead and store those all year. And at the end of the year, we're going to break them out and we'll have some. We'll write them up on the overheads and we'll see what God did. You know, if you put your name on there and you're here at the end of the year, you know, we'll break it out and we'll say, how did that work out for you? You know, maybe we'll have some testimonies and things like that. Can have the band come up during this time. And what I want to do is, this is a commitment service. And so, if you all would just stand with me tonight. And if you have that little card that you're holding on to, let me grab mine here. I got my card. And just hold it in your hand because, you know, there's something about when we have something tangible. There's something about when we have something that we can take with us. Mine says, in 2009, I will raise the bar by being diligent about what is important. And so I'm going to just pray a prayer as the band just starts playing. And let's just pray together and let's just commit ourselves to God that in 2009, we're going to do what we said we were going to do. Remember, this is a commitment service. This is where we say, God, this is something that for 2009 we're committing to. Lord, we may fail. God, if we do, we'll repent and we'll get back up and we'll go on with you again. Obstacles may come, but God will overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The devil may accuse us. People may rail against us and say things about us, but it doesn't matter what they say. God, I'm moving on with you, God. We're going over, we're going onward, we're going further. We're crossing the Jordan together. We got to get our feet wet in 2009. Father God, tonight, Lord, you know what's written on every card, God, and you know what's written on every heart in this place, Lord. And Father, tonight we commit ourselves that in 2009, that we're going to raise the bar, Lord. Just as we've searched our hearts this month, God, as our eyes are upon you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, God, that this year, God, as we do these things that we've committed to, Lord, that we will see you do miracles among us, God, that you will do wonders in our midst, Father God. And so tonight, Lord, we thank you, God, that you give us the grace, you give us the strength, you give us the power to do what we're committing to tonight. In the name of Jesus, everybody in agreement said, amen.